Success. It's something we all strive for. It's something that we all want to see in our lives. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about our entertainment, whether we're talking about our job, or we're talking about our Christian life. In pursuit of success, we do certain things for that. We may study on how to do our job better, or how others that have been successful at it, how they do that, how they achieve success in what they do. When we look at our entertainment, whether we play golf or whether we participate in competitive sports, we train for that. We exercise for that. We do whatever we can to obtain that success. And when we look at our Christian lives, there are things that we have to do in order to achieve that success. We want to look at that this morning. What do we have to do to be successful? I think at this time in our lives and this time in our society, more than ever, we need to be responsible for our own Christianity, for our own spirituality. There were times in the past when we look over society and what we're used to calling the norm in life, and things from the outside, from society, we could count on those things to be consistent. While they were not based on God's principles, maybe they were of a more moral nature, and we could count on that. In many situations, we can no longer count on that. Does that change the expectations that God has of us? Not in the least. He still has expectations of us, and He expects us to do certain things and think certain ways that aren't exactly the same as what everybody else does. That's how we achieve success. We do the things that He's always taught us to do, and that doesn't change. Beginning in Joshua 1 and verse 1, we'll take our reading from here this morning. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Things have changed in this story, haven't they? Moses is gone now, and he's telling them, go down into the land that's been promised to you. And we look at that and we think, whoa, think of all the excitement that's with these people. Their lives are about to change, aren't they? They may not know what to expect when they get there. Everything that they've known to be a constant in their lives has changed. They're going down into this land, and what do they got to do? They got to trust God that things are going to be okay. Did they do that? They did do that. They trusted that God knew what He was doing. They trusted the promises that God made to them. And what did He say? He said, be strong, be of good courage, and be not afraid. We want to look at those three things this morning when we think of the success we have in our spiritual lives. Be strong and of good courage. You know, throughout the Bible we read of the hope and the reward we have as Christians. But we've never been promised that acquiring that reward will be easy. Matter of fact, we've been promised just the opposite, that it won't be so easy. We see countless examples of where we are encouraged to overcome those obstacles that stand in our way. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7, it says, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." We see that same phrase, don't we? Be strong and of good courage. Do we practice that in our lives? Do we show that strength and that courage that He would have us to have? Why would we see others encouraged to do this if living as we should came without any difficulties? We see difficulties, don't we? It would be easy to be strong and of good courage if everything went just easily. But it takes that courage. It takes that strength to overcome the things that we see. The fact is, the things we see every day, we make a choice. We make a choice every day whether or not we're going to stand with God. And when we're faced with that choice, we need to be strong and of good courage to do that. Because we will be faced with that decision, whether we're going to stand with God or whether we're going to go along with other things. He says, when you come to that moment, be strong. And when you come to that moment, you have good courage to do what you know is right. And remember in verse 8 back in Joshua, do according to all that is written. He says, you know what's right. Do it. Dig within yourself to find whatever it is you got to do to muster the courage to do what he's asked us to do. That's how we'll see success. You know, in spiritual success, we may not be surrounded by supporters. Typically, we think that when we experience success, that everybody's happy for us. And everybody thought, you know, that's exactly the way it should happen. And when we see people experience success on TV, that's the way it is. We see people come out in throngs and they celebrate whatever it is that this successful thing has happened. It may not be that way in our lives. We may do the right thing, and it may be a big deal in the overall picture of our lives. And there may not be anybody standing next to us. But if we know we've done the right thing, we can take courage in doing that. You know, I had a friend that obeyed the gospel several years ago. And he did that. And he went home, and at the time he was living with his grandmother, and he was excited about this thing, kind of like they were. When we talk about the children of Israel, this thing that should have been a great success and something he was excited about. And he told his grandmother about this. And she said, there's no room in our family for a Church of Christ. You talk about deflating a bubble. That's hard to take, isn't it? To think that you've done something so successful and to be met with that sort of deterrent in your life. You know, I'm happy to say that he is still a member of the church, and he's probably one of the strongest Christians I know. You know, we think about experiencing success in our lives. We think about those around us supporting us in that, but that wasn't necessarily the case with him. You know, just as many times I think that fueled some of the fire. And luckily, his grandmother didn't take a hardline stance against allowing him to do that. And I think he went on to have a good relationship with his grandmother. But to be met with that, that would take a lot. It would take courage. We would have to have some hope in doing that. You know, we should only lack courage if we're not with God. And we think about the story going back into Joshua. When Rahab recognizes this, when she helped, when she helped the spies who went in to view the land, she and other people in the land recognized God's power and know they couldn't stand against it. Picking up on that story in Joshua 2, verses 9 through 11. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sion and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Rahab knew the power of God, and when she recognized that, she realized she could not stand against it. And there were others with her that helped these spies, because it was inevitable. God was with these people. And it didn't matter what they were met with, they were going to be successful. They were going to overcome whatever deterrent they were met. You know, God has made us many promises when we look through the scriptures. Do we believe he can deliver on those promises? Do we believe that? Is that something we look at and say, you know, God said it, it's going to be? That's the kind of courage we should have. Or do we question his ability to follow through on those things? Too many times we look at in our own lives, and we look at it, and we look at these examples and say, yeah, but that was then, and that was them, and God was with them. Do we not believe that God's with us? Do we not put on the courage to believe that he will be with us, to overcome whatever it is we're facing in this life, to get through that? We know we're going to be met with obstacles. Do we believe He'll deliver us through those things? He said if we're faithful to Him, He'll provide for us. And being strong and of good courage means we won't worry about the things that will come, and we simply do what we know we must do in this life. You know, having God in our lives strengthens us because we have confidence in Him to overcome whatever it is, and He'll provide for us. In Proverbs 14 and 26, it says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children have a place of refuge." In 1 John 5 and 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." You ever pray to God and you're not quite sure why we do it or if it does any good? That's not praying in faith, is it? Now, we may pray and we may have this big idea about how things are going to work out, and this is going to happen, and then I'm going to do this. Where's that focus? That focus is on me. That focus is on what I'm going to do. You know, He hasn't made us any promises about how things will turn out. We just know that if we stand with Him in the end, things do turn out the way He wants them to. And what did verse 8 of Joshua 1 say? "Do according to all that is written, and then thou shalt have good success." We have to do it the way He wants us to. And praying to Him and praying that His will be done, that's not always easy, is it? Because we want to be in control of things. We have to allow Him to be in control of things. But when we align our lives with what God wants, things tend to work out. You know, we don't fully comprehend God's ways. The Bible tells us we just won't. We won't understand everything that He has in store for us in this life. And we won't understand why things work out the way they do, whether we're looking at ourselves or we're looking at someone else. We know our decisions have a great impact on that. But we don't fully comprehend everything that pertains to God and how we operate in this life. But we do understand that the Bible's told us in these types of situations that God's made a commitment to us and He'll follow through. We've got to let go of the things in this life. We've got to relinquish control to Him and allow Him to work through our lives. Now, what about those obstacles we know will come in this life? We know they're coming. He's told us. He told us over and over, this life was not easy. And as long as we have free will and we make decisions, things are going to happen that are out of our control. When we experience those obstacles in this life, we should turn to Him and seek His comfort in this world. In Proverbs 18 and verse 10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." You know, we have a tendency to sometimes to run into ourselves. Like we said before, we want to control that situation, don't we? But this says just the opposite. Instead of running and coming into ourselves, we need to go into God. We need to know what God would have us to do in these situations. And then we'll find comfort, not the other way around. We can control these situations all we want. We can think that we have control of them. But until we seek God's direction, we won't fully overcome anything. You know, it occurs to us later in life that when we were younger, everything seemed to be a big deal, didn't it? Everything was a big deal. Everything that we did. Who said what? Who got to tell the first story? Who got to do what? Who was with who? You know, those things that you look back on and they're not that big a deal, are they? And we face things in life. And we think, oh my goodness, this is the worst thing in the world. And as we get through those things and we look back on them, we figure out that was not that big a situation, was it? We learn that with experience. Have you ever had a situation like that as an adult? A situation so bad that you lost sleep and didn't see any way that this situation could work out. I'm sure every one of us has experienced that. And now you look back, and it's not that big a deal, is it? We did whatever we had to do to muster the strength to get through it. And now we look back and think, that was not that big a deal. I'm glad I made the decisions that I made. I'm glad I stood with God because He got me through those things. Run to that strong tower when we find ourselves in those situations. That's how you get through it. You know, the world will only disappoint us on these things. You know, I heard a lesson one time and several years ago. One of the best lessons I've ever heard, because I remember it to this day, and it was probably 20 years ago. I hate that I know what happened 20 years ago. That means you're getting older. But I remember this lesson. He talked about putting our strength and putting our courage and putting everything that we have into this world is only going to disappoint us. And he showed example after example when people went the way of the world and they thought everything was going to turn out. And it didn't. Because the world will only disappoint. The world has extremely low expectations of us. And everything that we do to follow this world will disappoint us. And it's the same here. If we try to follow the world, we'll only end in disappointment. We put faith in God and let Him know that no matter what happens, we want Him in our lives. Then these other things won't be so big, will they? We'll meet those things. We'll meet them with sincerity. We'll meet them with the proper mindset into going in with those things. And know that as long as I stand with God, things will work out in the end. You know, Romans describes the strength of Abraham as he was called to do so many wondrous things. Things we wouldn't think possible. In Romans 4:20, it describes one of those situations. And it looks like I may have missed this verse. In Romans 4:20, it says, "He staggered not at the promise of God, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Many of the things Abraham faced, we would consider impossible. But Abraham knew through the God of all things are possible. His faith in God was strong, and he gave God the glory, knowing that God gives all things. How do we not give God the glory for those things? How do we not know that He will get us through those things? He's the giver of all things, and He's the creator. He can overcome those things. Things we face in this life or in this world constantly test us. You know, Paul gives us a great example of the attitude we should have when we face those tests. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, it says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." How can we fathom that in our minds? You know, I want somebody to come and persecute me, and I want somebody to come and do all of these terrible things to me. That's what it sounds like he's saying, isn't it? But in those things, that's where I should draw my strength. How in the world are we to do that? You know, for a long time, it was hard for me to understand this verse. But if you look at it put it in terms of something we're very familiar with in society today, we at least have a small understanding of what that might be. You know, I heard a story, we're about to have an Olympics now, but if you go back to the previous Olympics, there was a story in there that almost made me understand this verse a little better. There was a lady by the name of Dara Torres, 45 years old, going to the London Olympics. She is a 12-time medalist, but now she's 45 years old. She's training to do all of these swimming events. After every swimming practice or whatever you have in swimming that you do, after every one of those, she had to sit 30 minutes in a whirlpool and do 2 hours of massage just to get past the workouts. You think she understood what this means? That in those things that seem to make her so much weaker, she understood that those are the very things that made her stronger. Now flip that to your Christian life. Those things that you're met with, those things that seem very large when you're younger, those things that you go through, those things that you get through, those things we draw our experience from. And we see that when we repeat that pattern over and over and over, and we trust in God and He gets us through one thing and we go to another and He gets us through that, we start to see that when we feel that we're at our weakness, we are strengthened. And for many of us, when we think back to our childhood and our parents, there were a lot of things that they did that we hated, and they called those character builders. It's the same thing. Those things that we are met with in our Christian lives, that we get through, make us stronger ultimately in the end. And we have to remember that. And know when we're met with these things that it's normal. We love normalcy, don't we? It doesn't matter what happens to us in our lives. If we know it's normal, we can be okay with it. He's told us we're going to be met with obstacles. It's normal. And we can be okay with that. We may not like it. It's not going to be something that we enjoy, but we can get through it with His help. That was Paul's attitude toward the things we don't like to go through as Christians. He looked at them differently. He looked at them as training almost. When he was met with those things, it was something that he had to endure. In 1 John, we see individuals who draw strength in the Lord and what that strength has done, what that strength's done for them. In 1 John 2 and verse 14, it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You know, we're back to Joshua verse 8 in chapter 1 again, aren't we? Do according to all that is written, and then thou shalt have good success. They overcame the wicked one through what they experienced and what they studied in his word. And in this case, they were successful in overcoming the devil. You know, we begin to see a pattern in those who showed success in the scriptures, don't we? We see a pattern over and over and over. Then when people prepared themselves and they stood with God and they understood what He wanted from them in their lives, that they overcame it. You know, there's a saying, and I'll probably not get this right, but it's something along the lines of, don't prepare the path to meet the child, prepare the child to meet the path. And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because someday, somewhere, we're not going to be with that child. That child is going to be faced with decisions they have to make. And if all of our life we tried to prepare the path and make everything easy on them and do all of these different things for them, you know, it doesn't matter if it comes a day when we cease to exist on this world, in this world, or if we happen not to be there, or if they move far away from us, they're going to be met with a path. And they're going to have to make decisions. And they need to be prepared to deal with those decisions and make those decisions. What are they going to do? It's the same for us. You can't fix the path, and God has never agreed to fix that path for us. Some people look at their Christian lives and think, as long as I'm a Christian, He's going to make everything just so. And I'm going to walk through that path. I'm just going to get right through. He never promised that, did He? You look in His Word and you train yourself and you make the decisions that are necessary and you stand with Him. And we prepare ourselves for the path. He doesn't necessarily prepare the path for us. Be not afraid. That's another thing we read about back in Joshua. You know, sometimes we fail to follow God because we fear certain things. And we may fear that people around us. We may fear our past. We may even have a fear of failure. We can fear all these things. You know, there's a lot of fears that are built up inside of a lot of us. We have all of these fears. What does God say about those fears? If all our Christian lives are based on is fear and guilt, then we'll never succeed in the life He has for us. If all we do is operate out of fear, put your faith in Him and forget the fears of this life. That's the only way we can see true success. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 says, be strong and Isaiah 12 and verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Deuteronomy 31 and 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Put your faith in Him and forget the fears. Forget those fears. You know, as I study, I kept having the same lesson come back time and time again. So why was that same thing covered over and over? Like we said in the beginning, this life's never come with a satisfaction guarantee. We aren't presented with these things in this life and said, okay, you can take those, or maybe you can trade those things in for something. It doesn't work that way, does it? We're faced with these things, and we have to make decisions. And those decisions are formed by what experiences we've had. Are our experiences based on what God has told us? Or are our experiences based on what we've heard from society? What we've heard from somebody, what somebody else said? we will be faced with decisions. And we've all been there. We face things in life that are unpleasant. And we don't like to think about those things. Verse 8 of Joshua 1 prepares us for the good success it talks about through His written word. You know, there are two verses that come to mind when I think of fear in this life. And you'll recognize both of them. Psalms 23 and verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And Psalms 27 and verse 1, a psalm of David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" You know, most of us have heard both of those once or twice in our lives, haven't we? Many of us have heard those since we were very young. Do we live that in our lives? You know, it seems like something we would hear sometimes over and over, and maybe we've heard them our entire lives. Why do we not take strength from that? Because we've learned this fear, haven't we? David is so matter of fact about it in this verse. How does he get that confidence? I mean, he just says it like it is. "I will have no fear because God is with me." Can you imagine having that type of courage? Of being able to draw from that and saying, "I'm not going to be afraid no matter what happens because God's going to be with me." That's the life we need to strive for. That's the strength we need to look for. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Wow. All those fears we have are learned. He didn't give us that spirit of fear. We learned that on our own, didn't we? And you think about that for a minute. What does it tell us? What does it tell us to teach our kids and how to live our lives? It says teach them to fear God, doesn't it? Teach them to fear God. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. We have to learn it. Even when you look at it in those terms, we need to learn that fear of God, a fear of respect and reverence in this case. And you flip it to the other side. We've learned those fears over time, over the experiences that we've had. Whether it's fear of failure or fear of the unknown, whatever fear it is, the situation we're in, it's all learned. He did not give us that spirit. We learned it. Fear is something of this world. This verse tells us He gave us the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Those are the things He gave us to be that way. You know, we have many things that we have fear on both sides of the argument. And you know, it seems like that's the flavor of the day to play on people's fears. And you know, one of the examples that I see in that, you know, you have one group on one side saying, you know, we have to double production of food in this world. We have to double it in so many years. It's like 10 years or something. It's ridiculous. And you hear that argument over and over. We've got to double it. We've got to double it. You've got these companies that are trying to produce this different types of seed that will produce more food. And you got people on the other side of the argument saying, these GMOs, these genetically modified organisms, so they call them, make it sound really scary. These things that help them double production of food out of this seed. You see people on that side of the argument saying, these GMOs will kill you. And the people on the other side of the argument say, if we don't double production, nobody's going to eat. You know, the end result is we all end up dead either way it goes. So which side do you get on? They're playing on our fears, aren't they? They're playing us against each other. For whatever reason, one side wants one thing, the other side wants another. And over and over and over again, you see these fears played on in our lives. Are we going to sit around and ponder on that, worry about that? We have better things to do. He didn't give us the spirit of fear. We learned it. And there are a lot of people in this world that will help us learn that. They will help us over and over and over again to instill fear in us one way or the other. That's not what He gave us. He gave us the spirit, of a sound mind, of love, and of power. Going back to Joshua 1, it tells us, "Be not afraid, for the Lord our God is with us." He's the one that's in control. Not these people that post all of these things and write all of these articles and get out on the internet and spread this stuff. God's the one that's in control. Continuing on. Neither be thou dismayed. You know, we'll look at the last thing the Lord told Joshua as he prepared him for the success he spoke of. He said, be not dismayed or broken down. And when we think of this life, that makes sense because while I may be able to endure each individual situation as it comes, it gets old when we deal with one situation after the other. You know, I may be okay dealing this one thing with my financial situation, but then I've got this sick family member that needs to be cared for. And I've got this other thing over here with my job. And I've got this individual that I've had to deal with. And we get over and over and over with all of these different things. And it grows on us, doesn't it? It wears us down. You know, many times that's how it is. We can handle one situation. We may be able to handle two situations. But sometimes we get hit by many at the same time. We have to go back to where we draw our strength from. If we don't, we'll be overcome by these things. In Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He says, I'll strengthen, help, and uphold you. You know, when I'm looking at situations like that, I want all three of those, and I want as much as I can get. I want all the help I can get. I want all the strength I can get. And I want it to come from God. Because He can help us through those situations. Fact is, we need God. We need the refuge He provides in our lives. And to have spiritual success, we have to lean on Him and have faith in the promises that He's made us. We have to do that. Because there are too many outside forces that are encouraging us not to. We have to do those things. You know, just as David stated in Psalms, it pointed out, if we have God, who is going to stand against us? In Romans 8 and 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to have that sort of courage. Romans 8 and verse 37 through 39, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He pretty much covers it all there, doesn't he? I don't think he left anything out. When we look through our lives and we see the things that we're pressured by, they're all right there in that verse. He covered every one of them. And he said, God's in control of those things. We need to draw our strength from him. Problem is, there's one thing that can separate us from God. There is that one thing, and it's ourselves. If we wake up in the morning and we make the decision, it's just too hard. I'm faced with just too much. I just can't do it today. That's the thing that's going to get us. That's the thing that will separate us from God. It's ourselves. And we have to realize that. In John 10, verse 26 through 30, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, the same message is reflected here as in Joshua 1. When we hear His word and follow Him, then He is with us, and no one can take that success from us. You think about that for a minute. Any success we experience in this life, doesn't matter what it is. I'm the greatest athlete in the world. I'm always one injury away from losing every bit of that. I'm the richest guy in the world. I'm always one market crash away from losing that. Doesn't matter what success I experience in this life, it can be taken overnight. And we can stand up here and we can tell story after story after story where that was the case in people's lives. And they put their strength and they put their courage and whatever ability it was, whether it was making money, whether it was being an athlete, whatever it was, they lost it. We can tell those stories. It can be gone in an instant. But what we have in God can't be taken by anybody except ourselves. We have to remember that. It can't be taken. We have to relinquish it. You know, when we look at it, we can get discouraged. I get discouraged. I mean, I've come to the point where I've just had to cut down on my exposure to everything that's going on in the world because it seems so upside down. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Everything is upside down. Everything has changed. Society has changed. Our judicial system has changed. The executive will change. And the legislature has changed. But the plan stays the same. We stand with God. That's the message I want you to get this morning. No matter what happens in this life, we stand with God. Because that's what will deliver us, no matter what happens.